Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, this is Cheryl Broderson, and I'm in studio with our friend Mary Perro. Robin is in recovery right now. In fact, prayers are always appreciated for Robin because she's such a blessing. So we're actually talking about this incredible woman named Winnie Davies. Her actual name was Winifred. Isn't that just perfect? Winifred. Of course she went by Winnie, like Winnie the Pooh, right? So can you bring us up to speed?
Absolutely. Winnie Davies is not only, she's this very tender, but also very tough woman born in Wales and ended up going to the Congo at the tail end of World War II. But one of the things we're finding out about Winnie is just this toughness. And I think it's, for those of you that are just tuning in, definitely go back and listen, because she really is the story of a former rascal.
Yes.
For the Lord.
Yes.
Right? I think
yes.
We have kids and we're like, I don't know what to do with you.
Yes.
But she found purpose in the Lord and has just had an incredible life serving him. So she's gone back and forth. She's been in the Congo for a while now, but she's in a little outpost called OPNJ. She's built an incredible maternity ward. She's trained other nurses, but there's been a lot going on in the country that has been incredibly dangerous for not only the people in OPNJ and the Congolese people, you know, nationally, but also for the missionaries who were there. So we just ended really on kind of a cliffhanger in this last episode. There was bullets flying by, didn't pierce her, spear hit her hand and
bounced off. Yes.
But she refuses to leave these people. She's got a purpose. And she is going to serve the Lord. And the people have been begging for her to stay. They've been protecting her as well. So it's a really beautiful love story between her and the people and the work that she's doing for the Lord.
Right. And, you know, I also love the fact that her nickname was Mama Fura,
mm-hmm.
which
yes.
means Mama Joy or Mother Joy. And also, you know, and I think it was the last episode or maybe the first that we found out that she loved to speed around on her bicycle. And she did have a bicycle. And when her Opel finally gave up the ghost, the Opel was the little car that was not made for the Congolese roads. She was really upset because she couldn't transport patients to the hospital anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And again, now she's the only personnel at this hospital, besides the nurses that she's trained up.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not only running the paternity ward, she's doing the whole hospital. She's serving injuries and everything else, and they have no medicine.
And they're under attack in
That's
the
right.
midst of all of this.
That's right. They're under, what would you call it, like oppression. So they have these oppressive leaders, the Simba. And the Simba, some of their leaders were as young, the leaders, as 15. And they've got spears and they've got bows, they've got arrows, they've got guns, and they're kind of filled up with their pride. They think they're invincible. They've been told that if the National Army or anyone else shoots bullets at them, they'll turn to water. So they've got this inflated idea of themselves, and so they're pretty much not afraid of anything. And they like to show their power, and they like to bully. And so we're going to hear a little more about how they bully as we go on. But still, in all of this, again, in the scarcity of food and everything, Winnie wants to stay with the people.
Yes.
On her furlough, on her last furlough, the last furlough that she took in 1960, she had told the people, because they begged her not to go back to the Congo, and she said, I'm ready to die there. And she kept saying, I'm ready to die there. I've given my life for the Lord and for these people. I'm ready to die there. So she's there. And again, whenever General Ngalu was in OPNG, she was safe. But when General Ngalu left, she was not safe anymore. Again, the Simba would break into her house and they just took anything they wanted. They would take any food that she had in the house. They would take any possessions they had. If she had a chair and they wanted a chair, they would take the chair. If she had a stool and they wanted a stool, they would take the stool. Her bed, you know, they would take her bed. They would take whatever they wanted. So Winnie at one point was put into prison for 3 days. Remember those administrative offices? Well, there was a prison there, and she was there with all these men. So it's men and women all in this prison. And the conditions were atrocious. And this is a nurse, right? Nurses love cleanliness, and there was no sanitation at all in this prison. And they're crowded together. And so humiliated, the only white woman, one of the few women in this prison for 3 days. On another occasion, this Simba, again, Ngalu is gone, decided to kill Pastor Alini and Winnie at the post office, at that post that's in front of the administrative government offices. So they've got them out in front and they're about to execute them. And they said, wait, we don't want to just execute them. Remember, they're filled up with all this pride. We want to make them suffer. We want to torture them in front of all the people. So, you know, all the people will see what we do to Christians and to others who are not loyal to the Simbas. So they went to get ropes so that they could string Pastor Alini and
Winnie
up by these ropes.
Oh, my goodness.
So they went to go into the administrative office, but the door was locked. And the windows were all shut closed. And so the Simbas begin to look all over for the key. Well, everybody who's watching this, all the Congolese who are crowded around, and Winnie and Pastor Alini can see the key. It's in plain sight on this table that's right next to the door in front of the administrative offices. But the Lord blinded the Simbas' eyes. They could not see it. So then they begin to go house to house and doing shakedowns of all the people going, give us the key. We know you're hiding the key to the administrative office to save, they called her Mademoiselle and Pastor Alini. We know what you're doing. But they never could find it. Finally, they gave up. They returned her to jail and they waited.
Wow.
After her release, the believers in OPNG, because they had been guarding her and they felt like they were failing, decided they wanted to hide her. So they took her out to the forest. And for days on end, they moved Winnie from place to place, always hiding her. However, she heard that meantime in OPNG, anyone associated with her or who knew her was either being tortured, killed, or imprisoned.
Oh, how devastating.
Exactly. And she said, I will not have my beloved Congolese dying for me. Mm. I will not have that. So she decided to return and turn herself in. So she went to the administrative offices. But this time they said, we're going to let you continue because we realize that when you do hospital work, you're actually serving us and we need the medical intervention and we need the medical help. But also we want the people in the town to know how we treat white women. So you're our servant now. So we want you to work in all the gardens of the people. They have to see you on your knees in these gardens. And Winnie said, you know, all right, well, they had no idea that gardening was one of Winnie's favorite things. And she loved working alongside the people in the gardens because it gave her a chance to share about Jesus.
To talk to them.
It's
just another opportunity.
Exactly. And to tell them how all the plants and the seeds and everything were all part of, you know, God's creation. So 4 times in 1965, from January to April, OPNG was raided by the Simbas. And Winnie was rushed to prison. So this just becomes an ongoing occurrence. Each time and between her releases, she continued to work. At any given time, the Simbas would come unannounced into her house and, you know, arrest her or demand that she make them food. And remember, there's scarcity of food. When General Ngalu returned to OPNG, he wanted medical help for his compound in Batama. Now, by this time, the Simbas were losing. By 1965, the Simbas were beginning to lose their battle. And many of the places that they had been had already been overrun by the National Army. The National Army had gotten organized. The government had stabilized. And now it was the Simbas that were on the run. And most of the Simbas had either been arrested or killed. So all of their forces and all of their weapons, they had lost most of everything. So now General Ngala is like the last holdout. And he's got very few men with him. But he comes back just to get Winnie because he's got all these injured and he has no way to help them. Mm. And this is the last of his army. If, you know, before, if somebody got injured, they just said, well, you didn't have enough power, and they would leave them to die. But now he needs these injured repaired and healed so they can come back and fight for the Simba cause. So he gets Winnie and he takes her to Batama. So she has to leave her beloved Opienji, and she is so upset about leaving the Congolese and especially about leaving Pastor Alini and his family. She's concerned about them. But Pastor Alini goes up to the window when they're about to drive her away, and he said, you know, Mama Fura, you know that you must do the will of God. And this is the will of God. And after that, she had a complete peace, and she went willingly. She was able to take her adopted son, David, who we didn't have time to talk about, but she adopted one of the babies and raised him as her own. And he was hyperactive, I'll just say that. And also her house lad, Adabu, who was also her protector and, you know, would help take care of her. Ngalu protected Winnie as she set up and treated both men and women at Batama. He even gave her her own hut. So he really did protect her, and conditions for Winnie improved. She was protected, and he had her teach his children English. Throughout this whole ordeal, something that I didn't mention was a lot of the generals and everything wanted to marry Winnie.
She was an eligible bachelorette.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. And Ngala prevented it. He protected her from all of that because that would have been so, so dangerous. Mm. But he protected her. And so whereas other missionaries were not spared sexual abuse, mm. Winnie was the entire time. Now, the Dutch priest who Winnie had become friends with was also brought to Batama in August of 1966. And this was a companion for her. And when she didn't want the other people to understand what they were talking about, they would talk in English. And other than that, you know, they spoke in Swahili. He was 47 and she was 51 at this time. And again, there's a scarcity of food. But General Ngala always made sure that Winnie and this Dutch priest had enough food, which was really interesting. But this is Winnie, right? So she shared all of her rations with other people. Mm. She'd share it with the soldiers. She'd share it with her patients. She'd share it with the mothers-to-be, and she would share it with the priest. And that was one thing he remembered, was her generosity. On a couple of occasions, Ngalu actually tried to release Winnie to the National Army, but something, one of the connections, always went awry. Finally, Ngalu and his army reduced, decided that he needed to go into the forest and he had to go into hiding because his troops were really, really reduced. But he would not leave the priest or Winnie. He took them with him. This probably had to do with the fact that a few of his wives were pregnant. He had 10 wives.
Okay.
And during this time, when Winnie is in the forest and going from place to place hiding with General Ngala, she will deliver four of his babies.
Oh, my.
Four.
So he needed continued medical care for his team, his wives.
Exactly. So they would go from camp to camp because the Simbas had different camps in these forests, and they would go, we would call it a jungle, but they call it a forest. They would go from place to place. But now the accommodations are terrible and they have no food. So they are gathering food. She and the priest, they're eating berries. They're eating ants at this time. They found that these ants, these big old ants, that was a treat if they could get some ants and they could eat it. And they were just eating whatever they could. You can understand that they're suffering from dysentery problems. Winnie keeps growing weaker and weaker from all the travel. And not only that, but she has plastic sandals instead of shoes. She doesn't even have regular shoes. These plastic sandals don't have toes in them. They're not reinforced. And the terrain that they're passing through the forest is so rough that her feet are getting all cut up and they're getting infected.
Oh.
And they're sleeping on just the ground. Maybe they'll pile some leaves together and they just have to sleep. And she's just getting more and more tired. Her legs begin to swell with edema because the cuts got infected.
Oh, no.
And now her legs are so heavy and it's hard for her to move. And yet she has to keep traveling with Ngalu. And Ngalu gives this order that anyone who is straggling or not keeping up will be killed regardless of who they are.
Oh, no.
So she's having to keep up. She's having to keep up. And she wants to keep up also because, you know, she's worried about the others who are with them. And she doesn't want them to be brutalized on her behalf. So she's trying to. So, again, they're eating ants, ant larvae, berries, husks of corn, and whatever edible substance they could find. Sometimes they're ordered the whole walk, and they're walking like 30 miles a day sometimes, they have to walk backwards. And the reason they have to walk backwards is to fool the National Army. In case the National Army looks at them, the footprints will be going the wrong way. So Ngalu makes the whole party, everyone with him, all, there's about maybe 100 people. They all have to walk backwards through the jungle. So again, remember, it's rough. They don't know where they're going. Mm-hmm. She's got plastic sandals. And add to that, she has to walk backwards.
And her feet are infected and she's in pain and so many things to carry emotionally and physically.
Exactly. And at one point, though, interestingly enough, as Winnie is growing progressively weaker, Ngalu asks Winnie for her Swahili Bible. So the two things that Winnie has with her is a Swahili Bible and her English Bible. In this jungle, even going from camp to camp, she doesn't have any of her medical instruments. She doesn't have any other clothes, any extra shoes, nothing extra. But she keeps on her Swahili Bible and her English Bible. And she gives him the Swahili Bible. Then he turns to the Dutch priest and says, "Can I have a rosary?" So something is happening with Ngalu. And, you know, he's just watching their attitude and their grace. For the next months, they traveled from Simba camp to Simba camp. The accommodations were always rough, the food scant, and the travel was grueling. On one of the days of the hardest marches, Winnie, swollen, weak, and starving, delivered one of the women's babies without medicines, instruments, or even scissors.
Oh, my.
Out in these jungle, these terrible conditions, she delivers a baby. And she cares about the welfare of this baby.
Mm.
And she's, you know, treating the soldiers even as they get injured. But she has nothing, nothing, you know, nothing with which to work. Well, also, I didn't mention this, that even the water that they're trying to drink, there's no, remember, the missionaries, they always boiled their water. They got rid of the impurities. Now they're just drinking whatever water they come across from streams or whatever. So she's swallowing all this dangerous amoebas and bacteria and everything. It's no wonder that she's so, so sick.
And she's still trusting the Lord in the midst of this, which is so beautiful. I think we get into situations where something isn't going the way we thought the Lord would do it, or it's not working. And maybe it wasn't the Lord. I'm going to go do my own thing. But she is just committed to, even if it's all, you know, she has nothing, and yet it's still the Lord. I'm still going to serve the Lord with whatever's right in front of me. It's so beautiful.
Right. On May 27th, the Dutch priest was assigned an old guard and they fell behind.
Uh-oh.
So he and the old guard, they start, you know, going around and trying to find their way back to the Simba camp, but they can't. And they realize that they've been following, instead of following the road, they're following an elephant path.
Uh-oh.
That's really circuitous. So finally, they find the Simba path. And the guard is really old. So he's like this old guy that's supposed to, you know, take care of this Dutch priest. But the Dutch priest is also sick and it's hard for him. So they find the Simba path. And as they travel it, he looks up ahead and he sees Winnie lying on the side of the road.
Oh, no.
And he thinks at first that she's asleep. But when he gets closer, he realizes that she's got two huge gashes above her eyes and that there's a slash across her neck.
Oh, no.
And there's fresh blood. And he realizes that she's been dead for probably 15 or 20 minutes. And remember, only 48 hours earlier, she had delivered that baby. The day is May 27th, 1967. The priest and Simba suddenly are approached by three armed men as they leave the scene because they are going to try to catch up with the Simbas. And instead, these three armed men are in their way. And the men cry out to the priest, "We are the National Army and we are here to save you." After escorting the priest to safety, they went to recover the body of Winnie. And the men who went found a coffin and hoisted it together, taking it to the place and then carrying her 65 miles out of the jungle on foot. That's how revered Winnie was by the Congolese.
Wow.
Winnie's funeral took place on June 16th, 1967. She was buried in a grave with those who had died at Kisangani in 1964. The funeral was huge. A man named Pastor David Caxton conducted the burial service, which is interesting because 12 days later, he would be killed by robbers in the Congo. There was another service held for Winnie on June 16, 1967, at Caxton Hall in London, where it was officiated by Mr. Percy Moles. Do you know who he was?
Her inspiration's
husband conducted her funeral or memorial. Winnie's favorite verse was quoted at both services, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Philippians 1:20.
Oh, my.
That was her life verse, which is perfect. There is a memorial cross to her at St. Tudfil's Church in Coedpoeth, Wales.
Where she was from, where she was raised.
Where she was from. But she was buried in the Congo, exactly like she wanted to be, among the the other Congolese missionaries.
I'm still recovering that she died. Do we know what happened, or that's just the story? They found her, and
she was a straggler.
We can assume she fell behind. Yeah,
and it would probably be, considering her condition, almost a mercy killing.
Yeah,
so to speak. You know, we know nothing more about Ngalu. I'm sure somebody does.
Or her last days,
or her
wow.
Right. So the reports about her last days all came from the Dutch priest who just talked about her bravery, her kindness, and how they were a constant inspiration to each other throughout it all. They just would talk to each other. They would encourage each other in the Lord. In fact, one of the things they used to say to each other is, well, you can't hurt a corpse. They would turn to each other and say, well, you can't hurt a corpse. Almost, he said she had even a wonderful sense of humor even during that time. Wow. So that was the story of Winnie Davies. And talk about an inspiration and so precious. And that was a story that Maud Kills had heard that inspired her and said, I want to go to the Congo. And of course, she did the same work with babies. So again, thank you, listeners, for joining us again on this episode.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.